नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 81 टाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड ब्लेसेस सुदामा ब्राह्मण टेक्स्ट 37। भक्ताय चित्रा भगवान हि संपदो राज्यं विभूतेन समर्थयत्यजः अदीर्घबोधाय विचक्षण स्वयं पश्यन् निपातं धनिनामदोद्भवम्। भक्ताय चित्रा भगवान् हि संपदो राज्यं विभूतेन समर्थयत्यजः अदीर्घबोधाय विचक्षण स्वयं पश्यन् निपातं धनिनामदोद्भवम्। भक्ताय चित्रा भगवान् हि संपदो राज्यं विभूतेर्न समर्थयत्यजः अदीर्घबोधाय विचक्षण स्वयं पश्यन् निपातं धनिनामदोद्भवम्। भक्ताय चित्रा भगवान् हि संपदो राज्यं विभूतेन समर्थयत्यजः अदीर्घबोधाय विचक्षण स्वयं पश्यन् निपातं धनिनां मदोद्भवम्। भक्ताय चित्रा भगवान् हि संपदो अदीर्घबोधाय विचक्षण स्वयं पश्यन् निपातं धनिनां मदोद्भवम्। भक्ताय चित्रा भगवान् हि संपदो राज्यं विभूतेन समर्थयत्तजः अदीर्घबोधाय विचक्षण स्वयं पश्यन् निमातं धनिनामदोद्भवम्।
माताजी, वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। भक्ताय टू हिज डिवोटी, चित्रा वंडरफुल भगवान द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ही इंडीड संपद ऑपुलेंसेस राज्यम किंगडम विभूति मेटीरियल एसेट्स न समर्थयति डज नॉट बिस्टो अजह अनबॉर्न अदीर्घ शॉर्ट बोधाय हुज अंडरस्टैंडिंग विचक्षणः वाइस स्वयं हिमसेल्फ पश्यन सीइंग निपातम द डाउनफॉल धनिनाम ऑफ द वेल्दी मदर ऑफ द इंटॉक्सिकेशन ऑफ प्राइड उद्भवम द राइस. ट्रांसलेशन: टू अ डिवोटी हु लैक्स स्पिरिचुअल इनसाइट द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड विल नॉट ग्रांट द वंडरफुल ऑपुलेंसेस ऑफ दिस वर्ल्ड किंगली पावर एंड मेटीरियल एसेट्स. इंडीड इन हिज इन्फाइनेट विजडम द अनबॉर्न लॉर्ड वेल नोज हाउ द इंटॉक्सिकेशन ऑफ प्राइड कैन कॉज द डाउनफॉल ऑफ द वेल्दी. पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला प्रभुपाद. एज एक्सप्लेन बाय श्रीला विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्ती द हम्बल ब्राह्मणा सुदामा considered himself unworthy of the Supreme Lord's most rare and valuable benediction, pure devotional service. He reasoned that if he had any true devotion, the Lord would have granted him perfect unflinching devotion rather than the material riches and servants he had received. Lord Krishna would have protected a more serious devotee by denying him such distractions. The Lord will give a sincere but less intelligent devotee not as much material wealth as he desires, but only what will promote his devotional progress. Sudama thought, a great saint like Prahlad Maharaj can avoid becoming contaminated by immeasurable wealth, power and fame, but I must always be wary of temptation in my new situation. We may understand that this humble attitude assured Sudama Vipra final success in his execution of Bhakti Yoga by the standard process of hearing and repeating the glories of Lord Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासदी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा.
So I would like to first begin by seeking the blessings of all the exalted devotees here, seated here, so that I can offer some service to all of you for my own purification and for the pleasure of all the devotees. So we are reading from the 10th canto, 81st chapter, the Lord blesses Sudama Brahman, and practically we are reaching the end of the chapter, end of the pastimes. And all this while so many devotees have given so much wonderful explanations and insights into this pastime and understanding of how the Lord is thinking and what Sudama is thinking. So I was thinking what to speak of, what should I speak on this verse. Yesterday Narasimha Tirtha Prabhu gave a wonderful class summarizing the entire pastime. So I was thinking, if a newcomer, somebody who has no connection with Krishna consciousness, some non-devotee, if he sees or if he hears about Sudama or Sudama Leela, what would be his thinking? What would be his approach, his attitude? How would a modern man perceive Sudama and Sudama's pastime? Suppose we ask some of the, say, typical college student in Bombay, how do you relate to Sudama's life? So when they hear about Sudama, the first reaction probably would be that his life is pretty boring, or that, you know, he doesn't seem to have a career, he doesn't seem to have a job, not much of money, and he doesn't have gadgets, he doesn't have fast cars, so it's quite boring life, Sudama. And somebody would say that he also doesn't seem to be a go-getter, doesn't seem to be an ambitious person. Sudama, it is said in the Bhagavatam, yadrichayopapannena, he is just satisfied with whatever is coming of its own accord. But that's completely opposite to what we see nowadays, that people are so ambitious, trying to get something in life. People are being a go-getter. So we see that the modern culture is such that people are actually not able to relate to such pastimes or such personalities like Sudama. People are, because modern life is completely divorced from what Sudama stands for. And the reason is that the modern culture emphasizes performance, performance-oriented lifestyle. Whether it is a school, whether it is a college, whether it is the working area, whatever, social circle, people only emphasize on performance. I go to companies for book distribution, and generally outside the companies, they put big, big boards that we value customers first. Customer satisfaction is our first priority. Customer is king. But then when you go inside the company for book distribution, there they have from the managing director's desk, and the managing director is blasting the employees left and right. Where is the results? Last year's sales were so much, this year's sales have gone down. So I want to increase the sales. We want more money. So the whole idea is that outside people may talk about values, but ultimately the bottom line is money. The bottom line is you have to deliver on performance. So the whole culture, modern day culture, focuses only on performance. But if you contrast that with the Vedic culture focuses on a purpose-oriented lifestyle. Modern culture is teaching a performance-oriented lifestyle, and Vedic culture is teaching a purpose-oriented lifestyle. So whatever you see in Vedic culture, the Vedic understanding, everything is geared to that. First of all, we learn that how we are not the body, we are the soul. There is a three levels of existence. There is a body, there is a mind and the soul. Then we learn about the three modes and how we are supposed to rise to the platform of Sattvagun and ultimately go beyond the three modes. Even the Vedic model of learning and development is based on the Panchakosh. And the Vedic understanding of human goals is what we call as a Purusharth, the four Purusharthas of life, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So everything we see in the Vedic culture is geared towards purpose, not performance. Whatever we do, it should have a particular purpose. Rise beyond the modes, go through all the four goals to reach the highest goal of moksha. That is the purpose. So because of performance-oriented lifestyle, people, and where the focus is me first, I want to enjoy, what's in it for me. The consequence is that anything that any field you take, any art form, whether it be literature, whether it be poetry, dance, music, anything you take, the focus in modern lifestyle is what is the entertainment value in it? How does it entertain me? What is there to entertain me? But in Vedic culture, whatever be the art form, whether it is literature, poetry, dance, drama, music, the entertainment value is not as important as the educational value. So that's the consequence. When a purpose-oriented life is there, that leads to seeing things in terms of educational value. But when the performance-oriented lifestyle is there, people see from the entertainment value. People have to perform. We know, if we take the field of sports, recently there has been so much of news that whether it is the highest body of football or tennis or cricket, there is so much of scandals going on. People know that matches are being fixed. Yet people watch the matches. Why? Because they want to see the performance. People watch movies. They know the movie has got nothing to do with real life. It's all a fantasy. But still people like to see the performance. Why? People want to get entertained. So when that person has such a mentality, he sees even Krishna's pastimes from that perspective. So modern man, when he hears about Sudama, what is the value of Sudama pastime for him? At the most, the value is, these are some nice stories to tell the children. Maybe to put them to sleep. These are some mythological stories which we can tell the children, make them sleep. That's all, entertainment. Even recently, there was a movie released, animation movie, Little Krishna. And if you see on the YouTube, Little Krishna has got more than 10 million viewers. But even though there is so many viewers for the movie of Krishna, how many people do we see becoming devotees? Hardly. We don't see people just running into the temple and becoming devotees because they have seen Little Krishna movie. So Krishna's pastimes are sweet, and because they are sweet, the Bhagavatam says, Manobhiramam, Krishna's pastimes are sweet for the ears and mind. So people hear Krishna's pastimes, people chant Krishna's pastimes, but they take it only in the mood of entertainment. So basically I was thinking that today we'll discuss how the attitude towards hearing and chanting are at three levels. The first level is that hearing and chanting are the level of entertainment. That's what modern people do, if they do hearing and chanting. The second level is hearing and chanting, considering Bhagavatam as an essential medicine for one's life. And the third highest level of hearing and chanting is hearing and chanting at the level of ecstasy. So modern culture, we are already seeing that people, because they are focusing on performance, they are only hearing and chanting at the level of entertainment. And what happens is when they come to devotional service also, this tendency happens. That we tend to hear and chant Krishna's pastimes. There is a tendency to hear it as, what is the masala, what is the nectar in it for me? We get so attracted, you know, what are the 8 reasons why Krishna closed his eyes before killing Putana? What are the 6 reasons why Lakshman drew the Lakshman Rekha to prevent Sita from moving? So more we are interested in gathering information. So that tendency is there because of the upbringing of modern culture, rather than focusing on what the actual thing, the substance of hearing and chanting is. But if you see in the scriptures, hearing and chanting is glorified, not just as entertainment, but as something beyond that. In the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, very beginning, Parikshit Maharaj says, Nivritta tarshe rupagiyamanad bhavau shadachotra manobhiramat kauttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajeta vina pashughnat. So in this verse, Parikshit Maharaj is saying 3 things to glorify Krishna Katha. Nivritta tarshair upagiyamanad, that those who are nivritta tarshair, those who are completely free from all material desires, the pure devotees, they chant and glory and hear about Krishna's pastimes at the level of relishing it, ecstasy, upagiyamanad. If not at that level, bhavaushadaj, people take hearing and chanting of Krishna's pastimes as medicine, medicine for the disease of material existence. And the third level is, at the minimum, Krishna's pastimes is manobhiramat. It is very, very pleasing to the ear and mind. So the acharyas write in their commentaries in the 10th canto that Krishna's pastimes have such inconceivable power that even a person with polluted mind, if he hears Krishna's pastimes, he will be attracted to Krishna's pastimes. In the 33rd chapter of 10th canto, in the end, Shukdev Goswami says, Vikriditam Vrajavadubhir Idam Cha Vishnu. So there,
Shukdev Goswami is telling that even if a person has lusty desires in his heart, but if he hears Krishna Katha, he can develop bhakti, he can develop love for Krishna. And in another verse, it is said, Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham astitah. Bhajati tadrishik kredo yah shrutva tat paro bhavet. So there, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes in the purport that the only qualification to hear Krishna's pastimes and develop love for Krishna in the mood of gopis is one should have a human body. So the Bhagavatam is repeatedly glorifying the power of Krishna Katha, that Krishna Katha is a medicine which can completely cure the material disease and help us develop love for Krishna. That is the power of Krishna's pastimes. So that mood of hearing Krishna's pastimes as essential medicine, that was exemplified by Sudama. Here we see that in the purport it is written in the last line, we may understand that this humble attitude assured Sudama Vipra final success in his execution of Bhakti Yoga by the standard process of hearing and repeating the glories of Lord Krishna. So Sudama in his life, he is manifesting certain qualities by which we can understand how to go about in a life of hearing and chanting, how to continue the process of hearing and chanting, how to continue taking this medicine of hearing and chanting. So we will just briefly discuss some of the qualities which Sudama manifested, because of which he is able to continue the process of hearing and chanting. So the first quality that Sudama manifested is, Sudama is being very, very introspective in his life. He is being contemplative. So here we see all these verses. Sudama is actually contemplating in his mind. He is always thinking, what is my motivation? What is my intent? Because bhakti is a long drawn process. It's not something which we get immediate results. So it's very, very important that the sadhaka develop this quality of being introspective. So that what motivations he has, he can always check his motivations and come back on track. So here, Sudama is saying to Krishna, in his mind, Sudama is thinking, Prabhupada talks about this in the Krishna book, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna knows that many great personalities have fallen from their pastimes, from their positions because of extravagant opulence. This is another manifestation of the causeless mercy of the Lord upon his devotee. His first interest is that the devotee does not fall. The Lord is like a well-wishing father who does not give much wealth to his young and immature son, but who, when the son is grown up and knows how to spend money, gives them the whole treasury house. The learned Brahman thus concluded that whatever opulences he had received from the Lord should not be used for his sense gratification extravagantly, but for the service of the Lord. The Brahmana accepted his newly acquired opulence, but did so in a spirit of renunciation, remaining unattached to sense gratification, and thus he lived very peacefully with his wife, enjoying all the facilities and opulences as the prasadam of the Lord. Then Prabhupada continues, material opulence can be the cause of degradation and also the cause of elevation, according to the purposes for which it is used. If opulence is used for sense gratification, it is a cause of degradation. And if it is used for the service of the Lord, it is a cause of elevation. So here Sudama is checking himself. If you see the previous verses, as soon as Sudama came out of Dwarka, he realized that Krishna has not given him anything. At that time, Sudama is thinking that it is good that Krishna did not give me anything. Krishna is kind. Because he thought, if Krishna had given me something, then I would have become intoxicated and forgotten Krishna. So he's always checking his motivation. And now when he comes to his own house and he sees all the opulence, he's thinking that, actually, I am a neophyte devotee. It is very, very easy for me to get degraded by all these opulences and forget Krishna. So rather I should not get tempted. So it's in the purport, Sudama is thinking, a great saint like Prahlad Maharaj can avoid becoming contaminated by immeasurable wealth, power and fame, but I must always be wary of temptation in my new situation. So Sudama is taking the position, humble position, that I should be very careful. So devotee, bhakti is actually all about one's attitude. What is one's motivation? Checking one's motivation. Again and again one must check one's motivation. If you see in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the definition of bhakti, Rupa Goswami says, anukulyena krishna anushilanam. So there are two things about bhakti. Anushilanam is the activities, the action we do, the various activities which we do with the body and mind for service to Krishna. But then there is another qualifier for bhakti, anukulyena, attitude. What is the attitude of the devotee? Not just the action, but what's the attitude? So there it's explained that somebody may say anukulyena means, anukulyena krishna anushilana means any action which gives pleasure to Krishna. But that is not a complete proper definition of bhakti. In fact, there are two faults in that kind of definition that is explained. One fault is the fault of extensive, over exceeding the actual intent. So the example given is that the demons are hostile towards Krishna and they fight with Krishna. Yet that gives pleasure to Krishna. So if any activity that gives pleasure to Krishna is considered as bhakti, then what the demons are doing is also bhakti. But actually the demons have a hostile attitude. And another example that is given here to show that how that definition is not complete is the example of Mother Yashoda. So Mother Yashoda, when she is nursing Krishna, she keeps Krishna down and goes to the kitchen to take care of the milk pot. So there Krishna gets angry. So apparently that activity did not please Krishna. So one may think that that is not devotional service because it is an activity which is not pleasing to Krishna. So but actually the understanding is that the attitude that Yashoda had is the attitude to please Krishna. She is actually taking care of the milk pot just to please Krishna. So the definition of anukulyena is not that any activity which pleases Krishna. The definition of anukulyena krishna anushilam is that any activity done by the performer with the attitude to please Krishna. So attitude matters more than the action in bhakti. And therefore, Sudama here is showing an attitude. The attitude which will please Krishna and which will help him continue the process of hearing and chanting. Both in situation of poverty, both in situation of and opulence. So whether it was poverty or whether it was opulence, Sudama is showing the attitude, if you see the previous verses, he is showing an attitude of appreciating Krishna. When he was poor, he is appreciating Krishna as being kind. And now he has become rich, he is appreciating Krishna as he is like a merciful rain cloud, pouring water everywhere. So in both situations of life, he is appreciating Krishna, he is remembering Krishna. He is always glorifying Krishna and taking a very humble position and grateful. So this attitude of Sudama is favorable for continuing the process of hearing and chanting because he is being introspective and developing a favorable attitude. The second reason why Sudama is being able to go on continue the process of hearing and chanting is because he has implicit faith in the words of Guru. So he has heard from his guru in his childhood about Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities. And he has heard that hearing about this Krishna's pastimes and engaging in devotional service leads one to the perfection of life, developing Krishna prem. So that he has heard in his childhood itself, and because he has heard in his childhood, it has created such a strong impression. So generally in Vedic culture, it is recommended that one take shelter of a guru right from childhood. Small age. Kaumaram acharet pragyo dharman bhagvatahya. The advantages of hearing in childhood and serving guru in childhood is that strong impressions are formed. It's easy for one to develop implicit faith and service attitude because the guru is like a father figure. So Sudama had heard about Krishna from childhood and he had implicit faith in the power of Krishna Katha in the process of hearing and chanting. Therefore, he was able to continue the process of hearing and chanting because of his implicit faith in Guru and scriptures. The third principle is why Sudama was successful in maintaining his Krishna consciousness is he rendered intimate service to his Guru. So, Krishna, when Sudama comes to meet Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna and Sudama are reminiscing about their childhood. And there they discuss how we did so many services for Guru. We did so much intimate services for Guru. And by rendering such intimate services, Sandipuni Muni blessed them. Sandipuni Muni blessed Krishna and Balaram that whatever you do in life, whatever situation happens in life, may the Vedic mantras which you have learnt now, may it never lose meaning for you. It will always have meaning for you. You will always remember them in your heart. And whatever desires you have, spiritual desires, may it always be fulfilled. So because of the service to the Guru and the blessings of Guru, Sudama was able to maintain his Krishna consciousness in all situations of life. The fourth principle, how Sudama was maintaining his Krishna consciousness, is that he was intensely focused on the goal. The goal is to please Krishna. Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam. Kali Yuga, as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj says, we have filled with the weapons of mass distraction. It's easy to get distracted. Every moment we are getting distracted. So the essential need to be focused on the goal is, we need strong, like-minded association. So Sudama had the association in his childhood in the form of Krishna directly, and when he entered Grihastha Ashram, he had the association of his wife, who was as Krishna conscious as him, if not more. In fact, the Bhagavatam says, Kshut Kshama Cha Tatha Vidha. So Tatha Vidha, that his wife was as much Krishna conscious as Sudama. And Kshut Kshama Cha. So there the acharyas explain that the qualities and values that his wife had was even more than Sudama. If Sudama was tolerant, his wife was even more tolerant than Sudama. Sudama was tolerant, he had to tolerate hunger. But his wife, whatever food they would get, she would first offer it to Sudama. So she was much more tolerant than Sudama. So therefore, important for us is that if we have to be intensely focused on the goal of Krishna consciousness, we need like-minded association of advanced devotees who embody the same values which we are aspiring for. Then it is possible to be intensely focused on the goal of Krishna consciousness. In this regard, there is a nice quote Srila Prabhupada is telling Yamuna Mataji about association, good association. Association can be two, or association can be 200 people. If you are two people and you are compatible, you can become perfect in Krishna consciousness. But if you are 200 and are not compatible, then no one will make advancement. So that's the power of association. Getting compatible association, people who are manifesting the same values which we are aspiring for to a higher degree. So that helps in focusing on Krishna consciousness. And the fifth principle which helps Sudama in going forward, maintaining his Krishna consciousness, is Sudama is immensely patient. Sudama showed patience under all circumstances of life. All his life he was living in poverty, he never asked Krishna for anything. He never asked Krishna for any material opulences. Only at the prodding of his wife, Sudama went all the way to Dwarka from Porbandar, Sudamapuri. And even after having reciprocation, wonderful dealings with Krishna, and Sudama is coming out, still Krishna did not give him apparently what he wanted, the things that his wife asked. But still Sudama was completely patient and he was dependent on Krishna. So that is completely opposed to what we find in the modern culture. And therefore that's why people are finding it difficult to relate to these pastimes of Bhagavatam. Because modern culture is of instant gratification. People want instant noodles, 2-minute noodles. So we are coming from that culture, and therefore it is very, very difficult to manifest these kind of qualities, such as Sudama being immensely patient. But we can develop this quality of being immensely patient if we meditate on what is the level of patience shown by the Lord and the Lord's energies. If we just think about the patience of the Lord and the Lord's energies, we can develop patience. Because sometimes in our own life, we are trying to preach Krishna consciousness to people, we get impatient that people are not reciprocating, people are not taking up to Krishna consciousness, we may get frustrated. And sometimes what we do is, in our preaching, in order to push people to become Krishna conscious, we try to raise some alarm bells. You know, how the material world is miserable, and you know, try to make people meditate on the miseries of material existence. How nowadays there's a lot of talk about unsustainability, that if people continue to live in modern civilization the way they are, completely dependent on oil,
there are some statistics that in the next 40-50 years, oil will end. Oil crisis will come. So it's unsustainable. So better become Krishna conscious and live in farm communities. We may say like that. But if you see, what is the track record of the conditioned soul? This is not the first Kali Yuga that we are living in. We have been living in Kali Yuga for countless generations. So even if the oil gets over, we will figure out something else to enjoy. So the living entity has such a strong propensity to enjoy that even if he is bombarded with philosophy about how this material world is miserable, things are not sustainable, in Kali Yuga everything is going to break down. That's one advantage of Kali Yuga, is that compared to previous ages, in Kali Yuga miseries are fast forwarded because we have a very short lifespan. In the earlier ages, lifespan was so long that people experienced miseries with a long gap. But in Kali Yuga, in our own short life, we see all kinds of Adi Bhautik, Adhyatmik and Adi Devik miseries. But still the living entity does not give up his propensity to enjoy. But seeing this, the Lord does not give up hope. The Lord is so patient. The Lord is still coming. Krishna is coming in the form of Bhagavatam. Krishna comes personally and performs pastimes. Kunti Maharani says that Krishna, one reason why Krishna advents to this world is to create subject matter for hearing and chanting. And we already discussed that this power of this hearing and chanting is, it can deliver one the highest goal of Krishna Prem. Yet people are not attracted to hearing and chanting. So Krishna is creating the top quality content. Krishna is a top quality content developer. He is giving the best quality content for people to hear and chant. Krishna is giving the easiest process of hearing and chanting. And if you see Krishna's energies, Mahavishnu doesn't lose hope seeing our track record. So Mahavishnu, after billions of lifetimes, he inhales all the universes. He keeps them in his own body, hoping that they will rectify. Again he exhales the universe, giving a chance for the living entity to rectify. Durga Devi is also there, involved in this divine conspiracy. She is also repeatedly kicking the living entity, hoping the living entity will rectify. Anantashesh is carrying the universe on his head, hoping the living entity will rectify. Lord Shiva, seeing that living entity is being given so much chance, he destroys the universe not once, again and again. Actually, Lord Shiva gets frustrated because he is seeing that living entity is not improving. He is not rectifying. He is having endless hope in sense gratification. And actually, to destroy the universe, you have to get angry. So Shiva gets angry. But even after getting angry and destroying the universe, again when the universe manifests, again Shiva is getting angry, again Shiva is destroying the universe. That means he is repeatedly getting angry and he is seeing that it's not working. So if you see, in one sense, the Lord has created so many systems to deliver us, but all the systems are practically doomed to failure, that nothing is working. But still the Lord does not give hope. The Lord has infinite patience that the living entity will somehow get rectification. He'll become good. So finally, to the extent that the Lord decides that just creating these systems will not work, I have to personally run behind them. Therefore, Lord Krishna came in the form of Lord Chaitanya. So it is explained in the Bhagavatam that Lord Chaitanya personally runs after the living entities, trying to capture them and make them attracted to Krishna consciousness. Anvadhavat, the Lord is running after the living entities. So that actually we can learn in our own life, seeing the example of the Lord himself, how to develop this quality of patience, whether it is our preaching or whether it is our own practice of Krishna consciousness. In that way, by developing this quality of patience, we can also remain fixed in the process of hearing and chanting. And as I said, the third level of hearing and chanting is hearing and chanting at the stage of ecstasy. So for our practical purposes, we need to do hearing and chanting, considering hearing and chanting as medicine for our life. But there are personalities who embody hearing and chanting at the level of ecstasy. So the best example is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. The Bhagavatam explains, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhu Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. So Bhagavatam is full of rasa. And those who are rasikas, the pure devotees, They, when they hear Bhagavatam, and enjoy all the rasas in the Bhagavatam. Pibata Bhagavatam rasam alayam. So, rasam alayam means, one meaning of rasam alayam is Bhagavatam is storehouse of rasa. It has all the rasas to completely satisfy and to make the pure devotees relish. And another meaning of alayam muhu is, when the pure devotees, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he would hear Krishna Katha, he would faint, he would swoon. Alayam, he would faint and muhu, again get up, again hear. Again faint, again get up, again hear. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his entire life, he manifested, he personified ecstatic hearing and chanting of Bhagavatam. Whether when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he would hear the Bhagavatam daily, again and again, the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, he would hear hundreds and hundreds of times. And even in Jagannath Rath Yatra, he would hear and chant in front of Lord Jagannath for hours and hours on end. At the house of Srivas Pandit in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya would spend the whole night hearing and chanting the pastimes of Krishna. And he would be in full ecstasy discussing the songs of Chandidas, Vidyapati. And even in Jagannath Vallabh Gardens, when Pratap Rudra Maharaj sang the Gopi Geet, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy. So we see that the Lord is manifesting what is the highest aspiration we should have, hearing and chanting at the level of ecstasy. So another pastime is that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to deliver Prakashananda Saraswati in Varanasi, so there was a discussion between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati, that Prakashananda Saraswati says that you are a sannyasi, you are supposed to be reading Vedanta. Why are you doing this process of hearing and chanting like a madman? So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Guru More Murka Dekhi Karila Shasan, that my Guru Maharaj saw me as a fool and he gave me this process of hearing and chanting. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that how after initiation when he had gone to Gaya and after being initiated, when he started this process of hearing and chanting, he would go into ecstasy. And then he had, just to confirm with his Guru Maharaj, he had gone to meet his Guru, asking what had happened, that I am feeling such ecstasy. Kiva mantra dila gosai, kiva tarabal, japite japite mantra hoilo pagal. So he asked his spiritual master, what is this mantra, what is this thing that you have given me, that I am chanting and hearing and chanting and I am becoming mad. So then his spiritual master becomes very happy. And then he glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he glorifies the process of hearing and chanting. And he tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now you go, now you are qualified to go and preach Krishna Sankirtan to everybody. And then finally, his spiritual master quotes one verse from the Bhagavatam. Ishwarapuri quotes one verse from the Bhagavatam, which he tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is from the 11th canto. Evam vratasvapriya nama kirtya jatanurago drutachitta uchchaihi. Hasatyato rodati rauti gayati unmadavan nrityati lokabhaya. That one who has actually developed love for Krishna, he is completely maddened in chanting the name of Krishna. He is crying, he is shedding tears and he is completely indifferent to public opinion. So that verse actually he quotes to apply to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hearing and chanting is at that level. Completely mad, indifferent to public opinion. So in this verse from the 11th canto in the purport, it is said, Madhvacharya quotes in the purport to this verse, Kechid unmadavad bhakta bahya linga pradarshaka kechid antara bhakta syuk keshchit chaiva bhayontakah. Mukha prasada dardyacha bhaktir geyacha chanyatah. So very interesting, Madhvacharya is quoting this verse because here Ishwarapuri is telling that anybody who chants, when he hears about Krishna, he displays these symptoms of ecstasy. So Madhvacharya is saying that it is not necessary that if you are hearing and chanting at the level of ecstasy, you have to display these symptoms. So he says, some devotees of the Lord exhibit external symptoms. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would exhibit these symptoms externally when he was in private, in Jagannath Puri. But in public, he would generally restrain himself. And other introspective devotees restrain themselves and others partake of both natures.
So it is not by these symptoms alone we can understand who is relishing Krishna Katha. It is because anybody can imitate also these symptoms. So here, Madhvacharya tells two symptoms by which we can understand who is relishing Krishna Katha, who is at the level of ecstasy. Mukha prasada dhardyacha bhaktir gyeya na cha anyataha. It is by one's steadfastness and by the merciful vibrations emanating from one's mouth that one's devotion can be judged, not others. So he gives two qualities. One's steadfastness and one's mukha prasadat. The vibrations one is uttering from one's mouth, by which we can understand that person is relishing Krishna Katha. He is ecstatic. So the best person, the best example that we have in our modern day life of showing these two symptoms of relishing Krishna Katha is Srila Prabhupada himself. Srila Prabhupada showed steadfastness to an unprecedented, unparalleled degree. His determination. His determination to carry out the orders of his spiritual master at all costs. In fact, Srila Prabhupada's journey to the West at the age of 70, that itself is shows what is the level of his determination. So there is no match to the level of determination showed by Srila Prabhupada. And it is an inspiration for all devotees for all time to come. And the second quality is mukha prasadat, merciful vibrations. If you see Srila Prabhupada's life is an open book. He wrote thousands of letters to his disciples, so many morning walks, addresses, conversations, so much of books he wrote, Bhaktivedanta purports. So constantly absorbed in the process of hearing and chanting. Mukha prasadat. Because whatever Srila Prabhupada spoke, it was only based on the Vedic scriptures, the Vedic understanding, Vedic culture, and it was for the benefit of his disciples. It was prasad, it was mercy being given to his followers, to his disciples. So from Srila Prabhupada's own life, we can understand how Srila Prabhupada is actually relishing Krishna Katha. This Srila Prabhupada carried on even till the last days of his life. Even in his last days, when Srila Prabhupada was practically indisposed and bedridden, the last few months Srila Prabhupada completely stopped eating and drinking, but he never stopped the process of hearing and chanting. He told his disciples, come into my room. He instituted 24 hours kirtan. So constantly kirtan was going on in his room, and whatever little energy he had, he would invest it in translating the Bhagavatam right till the last moment. So we have the best example in our own life, in the example of Srila Prabhupada doing hearing and chanting at the level of ecstasy. So we are very, very fortunate that we are having such a personality in our parampara to whom we are getting connected through his disciples. So meditating on our good fortune, especially because this is our 50th year of ISKCON, ISKCON's journey to the West, we can try to reciprocate with what Srila Prabhupada is giving us, Krishna Katha and Krishna Prem, by trying to help Srila Prabhupada, assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission. Once Srila Prabhupada, he called Burijan Prabhu to his room and he said, my mission is to make the entire universe Krishna conscious. Can you help me? So Srila Prabhupada is very clear what he wants, to make people Krishna conscious. But to make people Krishna conscious, we need to develop these qualities which Sudama is manifesting. Sudama shows five qualities here, as I said. First is Sudama is introspective. He is always checking his motivations. What is my motivation for my practice? What is my motivation for my preaching? Second quality is Sudama has implicit faith in his guru. Third quality that Sudama has, he is performing intimate service to his guru by which he gets the blessings of guru. And Sudama is intensely focused on the goal of Krishna consciousness, to obtain Krishna prem, which he is getting because of association of like-minded devotees. And fifth is Sudama is manifesting immense patience in his Krishna consciousness. So by trying to aspiring to develop these qualities, we also can become instruments in the hands of Srila Prabhupada, in the hands of his followers, that we may be able to contribute something in the preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your patient and tolerant listening. Hare Krishna. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari.